B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stafford, deep backfield. He's got Cup again. He's at the 10.
So they go with the slot blitz, which means your safety on the back end, Antoine Winfield, has to cover Cooper Cup, the Triple Crown winner of receivers, one-on-one down the field, and Stafford finds him and hits him.
As I said before, if Cooper Cup doesn't wind up in the top five of the MVP balloting, it's a crime. 30 yards to win the game. Matt Gape boots it through. And the Rams, by the hair of their skinny teeth team, wind up winning it.
Three games so far, a walk-off field goal.
Yes.
All three.
Yes. Cooper Cup, two gigantic plays, four turnovers by the Rams, and Stafford almost gave it away on this drive. Cup, 186 receiving yards. Stafford threw for 369. And off they go to home where they meet the 49ers next Sunday.
Hour two, Felger and Maz. Let's get to Buccaneers, Rams. Murray, go ahead, please.
9 for 183 on Cooper Cup. Maybe double that guy. Watch out for him. I mean, the guy that, if they weren't so biased with the MVP voting, giving it to quarterbacks, would be the MVP of the league, and rightfully so. The one guy, the one effing guy. I hated every minute of that game because it was going the way I thought it was going to be. Their secondary was going to make Cooper Kupp end up looking awesome like they did, and that they were going to be a liability. That Brady was going to have zero time to throw because that right tackle that was in for Wirfs was embarrassingly terrible. And then I was like in disbelief of when that bad snap went past Matt Stafford, after Brady does what he often does in these big games, I will admit, he's back, pressure, ball out, fumble. Oh, F you. Nah. That happens. The Bucs get it back. I told you, I watched this almost under protest the whole time. I'm a terrible person to watch high-stakes games like this with. My poor wife dealing with this for 3 hours. But even then, after that, and the Bucs got it, and they're still down, I said, they're going to win this game. This is the Chargers divisional playoff game in 06. Redo. This is happening again. I can't believe it. They have zero business being even in this game. They're going to pull it off. But the way that it went, after they tie it, like, I'm jacked up. Yeah, but I also, like, I'm realistic. I know how bad that team is coached and how bad that secondary is. 48 seconds was a lifetime. And Cup is wide open, and they got what they deserved. They ultimately didn't deserve to win it. Did I want them to win it? Of course. I would have booked my flights. I would have been to the NFC Championship game next week. We would have had the radio that this area so, and Bill so richly deserves to hear, a week worth of Brady v. Garoppolo talk. So I feel ripped off. But I will also be fair, because Brady really pissed me off yesterday. He really, really did from, like, the first whistle. Did he look into it?
No.
Ever?
No, I noticed it myself.
Yeah, ever?
Same.
We all know what it looks like. Ah! Let's go! Psycho Brady. Crazed Brady. The look Brady. Brady coming to tear your heart out. He looked like 2019, I'd rather be anywhere else Brady. And maybe this is because he's going to retire. Maybe it's because he hates Bruce Arians. I don't know. They looked, starting with the most important piece, it annoyed the ever-living crap out of me how not interested he looked from the start of that game. Even when they tied it, did you see,
No.
Smashing helmets?
You saw it after he got the flag and got in Hockley's face.
That was it.
Drew a little blood on that pretty little face.
Yep.
He got a little look, and boy, did the broadcast put his, you know, the bloody look in our face. Like, give me a break. He's fine.
Now, the other thing.
But either way, I'm with you. He had a glazed look on his face.
Thank you. Yeah, because I haven't seen anyone write about this. It's all been like, wow, he almost did it again. Wow, what a gritty performance from Brady. Yeah, sure, fine. It was really more about the Rams crapping all over themselves, which, I mean, again, those four turnovers, those fumbles, and the one from Cam Akers. Are you kidding me?
Which one? The last one.
The last one. The last one. And even shorthanded Cup putting it on the ground. Like, what? This is bananas.
I mean, that was a complete, I think even in victory,
country. The Rams crapped their pants. The Rams crapping their pants was a story.
But Brady pissed me off too. And then too, like the other thing. So what's going on here? Either don't do this. Don't make me feel less about you. Like retire or get Arians fired and come back. Like, let's not do this for a month. I didn't like the shot when they're down like 20, whatever the hell it was before the half. They pan to Giselle in the box with the kids. She's eating chocolate. They're all partying. Hey, your husband's getting his ass kicked right now. So what is this? I said to my friend, too, I'm like, is this daddy's coming home? This is it. He's done after this one. That's what it looked like. And he, again, looked like, well, let's just get this over with because we're not going to win anyway. And, you know, and I know, Mike, Chris was on with you last night and Chris texted me during the game. He had heard from someone in the Brady camp that they were just hoping that Brady wouldn't get sacked like 18 times in that game. He went into it with the mentality they weren't even going to win the thing. So I hated how he looked and handled himself in that game.
I thought Tampa was defeated from the moment they set the foot on the field. The whole lot of them. I thought the whole team looked that way. And it starts with Brady. So let's, you know, that's the obvious place to start. You know what I think Brady knew? They couldn't protect. I think Brady knew we can't handle these guys up front. We don't have our guys. We're screwed. And I think that's part of the reason he blew up at Hockley. He thought the only way I'm going to get this rush to stop is to get the referees on my side. They're not going to be able to hit me.
And as stupid as the Rams are with all those turnovers and trying to give it away, they were smart defensively because they moved Aaron Donald all over that line. Oh, your right tackle sucks and he's out, and now you have this backup in. We're going to put him on the right. Oh, your left now looks shoddy. We're going to put him on the left. They moved him all over to bring pressure all day.
And in spite of it, they almost pulled it off.
Makes no sense.
Well, what's amazing is how many chances they gave the Bucs. I mean, again, just the flow of the game, again. So I think it was after the Cup fumble that they did score, all right? Then they stopped. I'm talking about the Buccaneers. They stopped the Rams. And now it's 27-13, early fourth quarter. And Brady, on first down, strip sacked by Von Miller, as Murray just mentioned. All right, so then you think game over. Nope, very next play. The Rams snap it.
To the 50.
To the 50. So the Buccaneers actually gained, after Brady's strip sack, they gained 20 yards in field position.
I was going to say it was like 15 yards. Yeah, they did. Yeah, Brady's strip sack lost the ball plus 20.
So at that point, you say, all right. At that point, you say, this is over. The Bucs didn't score on that possession. They didn't score. They got inside the L.A. 30 and came up short on 4th and 14. This was the play where Eric Weddle hit the guy late. And they almost Mike got Evans. Away with it, but they didn't. So even after that happened, the Bucs drive inside the L.A. 30, get no points. Then you say, okay, well, now it's over again because the Rams do drive down the field. They line up for a very makeable 47-yard field goal. He makes it, and you're like, all right, this is over. And then I say, well, why are they saying this is no good? How was that short?
I'm telling you, I thought it was an optical illusion.
It was an optical illusion.
It was so strange.
Because that would have put them up 17 points with 6.5 minutes left. Then it's over.
Three scores. Right.
So now Gay comes up short on that kick somehow. The Bucs get the ball back.
Bomb.
No.
Oh.
They don't score.
Again?
Yeah.
They drive down to inside the L.A. 30. Have a 4th and 9 and don't get it.
Yeah, he misses Scotty Miller wide open.
So I'm trying, like, this is what was unbelievable, is that after that fumbled snap to midfield, they don't score. After the field goal kicker somehow comes up short from 47, they don't score. So it's still a 14-point game inside of 5 minutes, and now the Bucs start burning their timeouts. And they stop the Rams, 3 and out. They burn all 3 timeouts. The Rams punt, Bucs get the ball back. That's when he went over the top to Evans.
Got it, right.
All right. So, and now this was a good little decision. This was a good decision by, I'm going to give Brady credit, not Bruce Arians, because they score with 3:20 left. 3:20 left in the game. That's a real tweener situation. You have no timeouts. Onside kick or kick away. And I'm doing the math in real time. Well, 3:20 left. They run one play. Then they have to run a second play. Then you get to the 2-minute warning. Okay, now they're... Now they're whatever, 3rd and 8, if you stop them twice, 2-minute warning, they run one more play, that's about 45 seconds, they punt with 1:15, you get the ball back with about a 1:10, 1:05, run there. You'll get the ball back with 1:05 to 1:15, probably not in good field position, no timeouts, and there's your chance to go tie. And as I'm doing this math in my head, Akers fumbles. It's like unbelievable. And then, of course, you know, they stop him and get to a 4th and 1 situation, and Fournette made a real nice play there to score on that touchdown. I mean, that was just incredible game flow. But, like, You forget, Brady didn't just have a couple chances there at the end. They gave him like five or six chances, and the Bucs came up short a couple of times and still did it and still came back in that game.
It was unbelievable. But the thing was unbelievable. In fact, it ended up that Tampa left too much time on the clock. After all that.
And then they call the stupid blitz, and they let Cooper Kupp go over the safeties, which is like, now, I second-guess the Bucs defense more than the Kansas City or Buffalo defenses at the end.
Absolutely.
Because, again, I think Allen and Mahomes were just, that was a 4x100 sprint. That was a track meet. No one was stopping anybody. This thing, Matthew Stafford, you can reasonably expect to stop Matthew Stafford.
He fumbled. He was trying to give it away.
He did, and he fumbled, too, on top of it all. All right, so anyway, there's and we have some Brady future thoughts, of course, and your calls. We'll do it all after these words from our sponsors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady going deep down the right sideline for Evans. He makes the catch. He's in for the score. Covered by Ramsey. But he got free, and Brady put it right on the money for 55 yards. Seconds to go 77 yards.
Unbelievable. They rolled the defense to Scotty Miller and left Evans one-on-one.
Second down and 7. Akers. Oh, he lost the ball! Come up with it at the 30-yard line. And Ndamukong Suh.
The faith that they showed in Cam Akers, the trust that they showed in Cam Akers, despite the fumble in the first half, comes back to bite them. And Ndamukong Suh, as he's done throughout the course of his career, remarkably comes up with a play of the day.
Here we go.
Look at the pile of players in there to try and stop this.
Can you keep it alive? Brady's going to hand it off. It's Fournette. He's going to take it to the end zone. 9 yards. This is officially lunacy. And now, crowd wants to quiet down for a second because Suckup needs to make the extra point. 27-27.
So they crash everybody inside, and Reeder is going to come flying through with a one-on-one opportunity to tackle Fournette. He misses that tackle. And look what we have now.
So there's the end of that Buccaneers game before the Rams win it. Another incredible finish. All right, as promised, we continue with your thoughts. Here's Brendan in North Andover. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My big takeaway from the weekend was how dumb the Titans, the 49ers, and the Patriots all are for not going after Tom Brady. Obviously, all those teams were rumored to be in on Brady, or at least interested in on Brady, and I think all of them would be better off. Curious to hear your thoughts. I'll hang up and listen.
100%. Titans worse than the Niners because the Niners are still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Titans' weak link is the quarterback.
What a beanhead he is. What a moron. Seriously, that jackass. First throw of the game picked off, and then the last one was in traffic. He sucks.
John in Brockton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. What's up? So, real quick, I just want to get a few things out there before you hang up. And then you guys
just got to speak into the phone, John. You're fading quickly.
Sorry. I didn't think you guys got me to speak so fast. Okay, so real quick, I really wanted Tom versus Jimmy because I really wanted someone to ask, Bill would text Jimmy, but probably not going to text Brady, right? I would have loved to hear that. I think it's funny that the Buffalo is complaining about the overtime rules, considering the Chiefs wanted to change this back like 2 years ago when they lost to the Patriots, and no one supported it except for the Chiefs.
You know, I'm that overtime thing. I just don't have a lot of patience for the Patriots fans saying, just, you know, keep it as it's easy to say when you've won like all four. When Brady was here, I think you won the coin flip in overtime four times in a row. All four. I think it's either three or four. You know, even going back to the Raiders Snow Bowl, you won the coin flip in overtime and went down and kicked the field goal. The Raiders never touched the ball. So going all the way back to that, every time you've been in overtime in the playoffs, you've won and scored on the first possession. So it's easy for you to say, yeah, just get a stop. You know, what if Pat Mahomes had won the coin flip in that AFC Championship game and runs it right down your throat and you lose? What would we be hearing the next day?
Well, so look, Patriots fans, no question they feel that way because it's worked out for them. But I do sort of focus on the 60 minutes. Like, you had chances to win the game in the 60 minutes. And in Buffalo's case, you were up with 13 seconds to go. Just squib the kick. They're not blameless. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. Once it gets to that stage, well, then close it out in regulation. You had a chance to close that game out in regulation. They didn't do it.
We've got Amar in Bridgewater. Hi, Amar.
Hey, how's it going? We got no wide receivers, and I can name off Diggs, Hill, Chase, Andrews, Brown, Allen, Waddle, Claypool, and Johnson. The Pats don't have any guys like that, and but most of those guys were drafted by the squad they're with.
Okay. Yes, so we sort of focus on the quarterback play. The fans here, I think, are more focused on the wide receiver play and the arsenal around these quarterbacks. And so, fine.
All right, so he mentions Waddle. Do you think Miami fans are watching that duel last night between those two quarterbacks and saying, well, that's going to be us next because Tua's got Jalen Waddle?
Good point.
Come on.
It's a good point. So it's like, you got to have the triggerman too. It's not just what's surrounding them. It'll certainly make you better, for sure. But now that just, so then you can try and keep pace with the pass catchers. How about the guy delivering the ball? Does he stack up with some of the things we've seen over the weekend?
No. What do you want, crack? No. So again, look, and I like Mac Jones. I if you ask me right now, I don't think he's in the same class as Burrow. I don't think he's ever going to be in the same class as Burrow, and Burrow doesn't run around like the other two do.
Chuck in Brighton. Go ahead, Chuck.
How you doing, guys? You know, I'm sick and tired of watching, you know, Mac Jones not escape the pocket. You know, watching these QBs in this league. Nowadays, they're extending plays with their legs. Mac Jones is not.
So, you know, I mean, so. I understand that, Chuck, but you also understand then that Tom Brady's either going to finish first or second in the MVP balloting. And not that I give two poops about the MVP. It's just a way to tell you, an entree into saying Brady's a dinosaur and still puts up as big a numbers as anyone. So while obviously the it feels like the future of the position is guys that are really athletic on top of being able to throw, you can still do it the other way if you're good enough and surrounded by enough.
I mean, look, you know, Burrow's not a burner up and down the field. He's not that guy. He can move. I mean, he's got some, you know, he's elusive, and there was a third down play, I think, when the game was 9-6 where he dove for the first down marker and got it. It's about a 5-yard game, but he was elusive on that play. And so he's got some of that, but it's not like he's going to pick up 70 yards rushing in a night. He's not that kind of guy.
So, I mean, if you want to go get Josh Allen, I'd take him for sure, who can run and throw and do it all. It's great. Like, that's sort of, you're going to, or you want to go trade for Russell Wilson, which I would, or Deshaun Watson. I would. Those guys can do both of those things. Russell Wilson is deadly when he decides. It's a big game, and he knows he needs yards, and he'll tuck it. He's great at that. And protecting himself in the meantime. So I would be in favor of doing all of that. But short of trading for Watson or Russell Wilson, yeah, it's not going to be available to you in the draft. So what do you do there?
Like, you go get skilled people.
I mean, so what's your path?
But I don't trust the Patriots on that one either.
Tim in Blackstone.
I don't.
Hi, Tim.
Selger, after this weekend, you honestly would take Aaron Rodgers over Mac Jones?
Yes.
I mean, Rodgers is a locker room carcinogen. That guy looks like he rots it from the inside out. And you would genuinely give up like 3 years for Rodgers for the rest of whatever you have for Mac under control right now? That's just asinine. At least Mac had 2 touchdown passes and had a desire to play. Rodgers with his little man bun is all set.
Well, I don't think he poisons the locker room. That's not the problem there. That's not the issue. I think they like him.
In those 3 years, if he's somewhere else, change of scenery, I think you get good Aaron Rodgers. Whether or not you get a championship out of that, I don't know. But you have a better chance with him, I think, than with Mac Jones.
Right. There's no guarantee. Maybe he brings his sour puss choking act here. And that's entirely possible. It's also possible Bill sort of coaches some of that stuff out of him or protects him. Or, you know, as opposed to letting Aaron come in here and do everything that he wants whenever he wants it, Bill sets some boundaries, and like he does with other players, when Bill's going good, he accentuates what he does well and tries to hide or cover up or downplay what he does poorly, and he gets more out of Aaron Rodgers than Matt LaFleur or Mike McCarthy. I mean, look, I think Bill's reputation has taken a hit here the last couple of years. I understand that. I still think he's pretty good. I still would rather have him than Matt LaFleur or Mike McCarthy. So do you think he can get more out of that player than those two guys? I do. And I think the odds are better there of reining in whatever Aaron Rodgers' his problem is than it is trying to coach up Mac Jones into something that he's not. And so, but this is fantasy land. I don't think it's happening because they don't want to pay him. But I would do that. I would like to see what it looks like with Bill Belichick coaching Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, the only thing I worry about there is Rodgers' ego. Like, that just feels like a bad match.
Of course.
Yep, so that's it. But the look, I don't know how you look at the landscape in the AFC, if you're honest about it, and feel like the Patriots have a quarterback that matches up with what other teams have. For a long time in the AFC, it was Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger. Right now, it looks like Mahomes, Allen, Burrows for the next 10 years, at least.
Yeah, we've got Mike in Salisbury. He's up next with Felger Maz. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, this is toward you, basically, since you don't like the scenario or the overtime. I have a kind of bizarre thing.
No, this is what I don't like, your bizarre ideas, but just give it to me quick.
Okay. Put your 10 minutes on the clock. No coin flip. Continue the game. Everybody knows the scenario, okay? And
is it still sudden death, Mike?
Is
it still sudden death?
Yeah. If the team sits on the ball.
Yeah, okay, I'm just gonna stop you. So others have proposed this as well, and that is you just pick up overtime wherever the fourth quarter ends, and make it sudden death.
No,
I don't like that.
No, because you don't get any of the drama we had yesterday.
Right. And then
there's no rush.
Right. Then you lose the drama at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yes. No. You gotta have that deadline.
My idea is the best, and if you don't think so, you got a big dump in your pants. Okay, so that's just what I'll say. If you don't, and it's not my idea, it's Belichick's idea. Okay, Belichick proposed this to the league years ago. It's the best one that I've heard, and it's the right one. It's the best one. And if you don't like it, again, you've crapped your pants, and you've just got a big dump in your pants. And that is no sudden death. Everything else stays the same. Is it a 10 or 15 minute period in the playoffs? I forget.
I think in the playoffs they go to 15.
Because in the regular season it's 10.
Correct.
I should pay attention to this, but I don't. What I would do is, and it's what Bill proposed, 10 minutes, take away the sudden death. That's it. You play the 10 minute period out. And that will almost always give the other team a chance, the other team to possess the ball. Now, if the offense play, and it sets up all sorts of strategy and situations. Do you bleed the clock your first drive? Bleed the clock. Go on an 8-minute drive and leave them nothing on the clock to try and tie it. Does the other side then burn their timeouts to preserve time again? It's just repeating the end of the fourth quarter.
Right. You basically start the fourth quarter again.
It's it. It's so, and it's all those strategy decisions are on the table. All those time management decisions are on the table. And it most closely replicates what you get at the end of a regulation, like basketball overtime. And it's quick. And it's so, like, that's what Bill would do. That's what I would do. And if you disagree, you suck. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're in our meeting with Tom Brady the other day, and we said, do you ever think about a perfect ending? And he said, winning the Super Bowl, but I don't know that that's this year. I'd love to end on a Super Bowl. He paused and then said, but I think I'll know when I know. But there's a lot that's inconclusive. Now, there are some switchbacks in that answer. Wouldn't you say? But he hasn't said he's going to come back next year. He hasn't said he hasn't coming back. But you tell me what you think after you see that. And there's a lot of buzz out there right now that this could be it.
A lot of switchbacks.
A lot of switchbacks.
So that's, I thought, was the most insightful thing about Brady's future said over the weekend. It was during the broadcasts, and it was said during their production meetings, which typically are off the record. Like, you don't quote guys directly from those production meetings. They're supposed to give you a little insight off the record to help you with the broadcast. Like, when they zone blitz, we're going to do this. Or, you know, what, you know, things like that. So the broadcasters have a clue and are just a little bit ahead of it when they call the game. You know, watch for this, watch for that, watch for him coming off that edge. When he comes off that edge, we're going to counter it and, you know, whatever. And so that's supposed to be kind of off the record background. You don't hear a guy directly quoted from that, but they directly quoted Brady on that one.
Well, it's the second time they've done it too, right? If you go back to that Houston game.
That's right. I'm the unhappiest ain't no quarterback in the league. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Which tells me that there's probably some understanding there that whatever I say here, you can use. Go ahead.
I guess. So either way, they put the quote board up and gave the full quote. It's how, you know, how'd you like to go out? It's, and Brady says, well, it's with the Super Bowl, obviously, but I don't know if that's this year. But then there's things that are out of my control and to be determined. So, and again, there are switchbacks. I think my guess is he's not retiring this year. Of course I'd like to go out with a Super Bowl, but that's not for this year. And then he catches himself and says, well, you know, we'll see. Because I agree with you guys. I think there's some leveraging going on there. Boy, is there some leveraging going on there in Tampa where Brady... I mean, let's just go on the supposition that Brady wants Arians out of there. So Brady's leveraging his availability against Bruce Arians with the Tampa ownership. Well, if you keep that bozo, I'm just going to retire. Arians today then counters with, he said last night, I'm not going anywhere. Oh, yeah, I'm coming back in 2022. And then when Arians is asked today about his quarterback position, he says, I think we're all set, meaning he likes Blaine Gabbert. And then he says, well, we also can see what's behind door number two or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, they have Gabbert and they have Kyle Trask, but yeah, because door number two that last time was Tom Brady a few years ago.
And so then he says, well, so Brady says, Brady's leverage is, well, you keep that guy, I'm going to retire. And Arians counters with, yeah, go ahead and walk away. We've got Russell Wilson up our back, you know, down our back pocket. Or we've got Deshaun Watson in our back pocket. Yeah, we got options, Tommy. We don't need you. And so it's like they're leveraging each other. You know, left out of this is Bruce Arians isn't the guy bringing in the quarterback. It's the owner. And it's the owner who's making the decision. So how do you weigh all that out? What do you think?
I mean, I think Arians is just spitting back at Brady. That's what I think that is. Like, yeah, you know, we'll find someone else. Yeah, no big deal. But I told you, and I said it out of spite at the end of last week. Like, no, Brady doesn't get to decide who the coach is to. And at the end of the day, I don't think that that's what's going to force him out. Maybe I'm wrong. I think he needs players, though. I mean, he didn't have a possession guy in that game yesterday.
And I think that he also believes he might have won yesterday with Antonio Brown. And, like, Brown's an a-hole, and that thing was going to blow up. But I think he blames Arians for not letting me, Tom, handle that situation.
Definitely.
I think that's part of it.
Yep, that's part of it. No question. Antonio Brown, Godwin got hurt. So now who am I going to throw to on third down?
But here's the text he should have gotten from the Glazers today, the owners of the Bucks. Hi, Tom. We don't want you to retire. What do you need us to do? New contract, new players, new head coach. Just let us know. Glazers, send. That's all that should read. What do you need from us? We'll do it.
Agreed. Unless they do have Deshaun Watson in their back pocket, right? I mean, then you would say,
oh, sure, yeah.
You know, Tom, then you have to come back on our terms. If not, we've got a legit, it's not Blaine Gabbert. We've got a legit, you know, plan B in our back pocket. Then, you know, then the Buccaneers have a little more leeway. But short of that, if the Buccaneers don't have Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson in their back pocket, the second Brady walks out the door, they go back to being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, they're a laughingstock again.
The worst brand in professional sports, just about. Complete joke and afterthought. So, you know, I'm with you. I've come around on that, too. Whatever Tom wants... Tom gets. The thing I think that everyone just sort of overplays, we hear it all the time, and the broadcasters were doing it too, about if he wins a Super Bowl, he'll retire. If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, he'll come back. And it's like 99 times out of 100, that's not what it comes down to. It's not what it comes down to. Yeah, John Elway walked away after winning a Super Bowl last year. He had made up his mind beforehand. He was going to retire whether he won or lost. They all knew it was his last year. And that's the way it works 99% of the time. whether you want to play or not is based on things other than whether you won or lost your last game. What are you, freaking stupid? Where does your wife want to be? Are your kids in school? Or do you want to put your body through it again? Do you want to go through all the training in the off season? Do you want to continue to shoot that crap up your ass in the case of an NFL player? Like all that stuff. Like there's a million things. Do I want to risk my head injuries? My kids going to school. My wife wants to leave. They're not going to pay me enough. My contract blows. That's why you retire. You don't retire because you won or lost your last game. Even guys like Tom Brady, it doesn't work that way. God, I get all worked up every time we do this. Like, what? It's not your fantasy league. It's not. No, it's not the way it works. It's not a movie. There's a million real life considerations that go into it before they win or lose their last game. God, like, I just find that insane how everyone always falls into that. Does Tom Brady want to keep putting himself through it or not? That's the question. Not whether he wins or loses that last game. So wait a minute. He doesn't want to do it anymore. He doesn't want to put the work in the offseason like he used to. He doesn't want to risk the head injuries. He's sick of being away from his kid who lives in New York. All these things. But he lost the last game, so you know what? Never mind. I do want to keep playing. Is that the way you think that it works?
No, of course not.
Like, come on.
No, again, look, Drew Brees lost his last game and left. Like, you
it's
know,
just the way it is.
Yes, of course.
They decide long before. It's real life considerations and the contract and things like that. Well, not whether they win or lose their last game. Stop with this.
I think he wants to keep playing.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I think now this might be the last one, but I think he wants to keep playing, and he just needs some assurances that certain things are going to be done, and maybe he wants some guaranteed money too.
Or maybe he wants to play somewhere else. A story literally just dropped that we should probably touch on coming back.
I love the tease. Okay.
I can guess.
Guys are playing games.
And I won't.
There's game playing going on there. What is the game? What's the end game, Tommy? To that story right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Tom, how do you process going forward? I know a lot of people wondering how you will contemplate whether you'll come back or not.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so we'll just take it day by day and see. Kind of see where we're at.
Did you at least take a moment as you came off the field or at any time today to think about that, to think that this might be the last time I'm out here?
No, I was thinking about winning. That's kind of my mentality always, to go out there and try to win, give my team the best chance to win.
What's the biggest factor for you, Tom? What would be the biggest factor for you in making that decision going forward?
Truthfully, guys, I'm thinking about this game and not thinking about anything past 5 minutes from now.
Was Brady after the game not answering the questions on his future. So Big Jim Murray teased a story that has just dropped about Tom Brady's future. What do we got, Murray?
So from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, just a short time ago, he posts a story that reads, could Tom Brady be thinking about joining a new team? And he goes on to say many have expressed nonchalance about the possibility of Tom Brady retiring in lieu of playing next season. But what is it then? Why did Brady go from being all in 2022 to being non-committal for next season? And this is important because I haven't really heard this, but we can all figure this was going on. There's a belief that Mrs. Brady, otherwise known as Gisele Bündchen, has laid down the law with her husband that regardless of whether he wants to keep playing in 2022 and beyond, she's telling him 22 seasons are more than enough. We're back to this again, huh? Again, that shot of her yesterday in the box in that game. Yay! Let's have chocolate, everyone. Daddy's coming home. Like, that was a party. She thought it was over yesterday. Down 20 at halftime. Like, you should be into the game. You should be pissed they're losing. Instead, it's a party. Gee, I wonder what's going on in that head of hers. She thinks it's over. Anyway, Mike Florio goes on to write, the deck was stacked for the Bucks this season. Seems strong. Linebacker Levante David also pointed to turmoil within the team. How much did the Antonio Brown fiasco and the team's handling of it potentially sour Brady? Has he lost faith in the ability of head coach Bruce Arians to coax the team to the top of the mountain? We don't know the truth of this because Brady would never admit to it, given the current gap between the Rams and Bucks, however. It's hard not to wonder whether Brady, if he continues to play, wants to roll another set of loaded dice. Where would that be? Well, his first choice 2 years ago was San Francisco. They passed. But how about a year for Brady as Trey Lance continues to develop? Lance gets to watch and learn from the best ever for a year. Niners, Final Four team, despite having a quarterback who's not even in the top 20, could add Brady to a highly talented roster, brilliant coaching staff, and finally get their sixth Super Bowl win. He'd have to finesse his way out of Tampa, sign the one-year extension, blah, 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 some permutations about his contract. But again, he ends by saying maybe he can do what he wants to do by wrapping up his career with the 49ers.
So I think it's entirely possible. I think Brady's leveraging. He's been leveraging for a while. That comment to Collinsworth and Al Michaels was loaded with, I thought, just sort of leveraging in there. Arians today clearly trying to leverage back at Brady. So they're playing a game. I rule nothing out. I don't think he's retiring.
Yeah, me neither. He's definitely unhappy, though, which brings all the other elements into play.
I mean, just sort of back to my point. If he's done, he's done. He's not playing any of these games.
Right.
Why play
good
any of these
games? Right. You don't need a month.
Good
you know,
point.
You know if you know.
Good
if,
point.
If you're done, you're done.
No, it's the turmoil, the inner turmoil. Murray, did you read that part? Sorry, I zoned out a little. The Levante David part about inner turmoil?
Yeah.
So that's what it is. It wasn't as smooth as it was a year ago. There's more friction. There's more tension, whether it's over AB or between him and Arians or maybe some guys on the roster.
Whatever. He's pulling his high-maintenance diva thing that he pulled here at the end. All right. Like, okay.
Right, but the point is he goes home. He's pissed off. Giselle says, why don't you just quit? What are you doing? Why do you put yourself through this? You've done enough. Quit. I don't want to quit. I like playing too much, and I want to play somewhere else.
If he was done, he'd be done. Instead, we have the veiled threats and the half comments and the this and that. He wouldn't be doing the this and that if he were retiring. He would just retire. So he's playing. That's what I think. It's just where and for how much and who's he going to be coached by and surrounded by, and that's what's going on now with him.
San Fran's a good one.
Okay, that'd be a great one.
Niners or Titans.
I was going to guess Tennessee after that debacle by Tannehill, although they owe him a lot of money. So maybe not Tennessee. But if I were Vrabel.
You can usually figure out the money.
Oh, definitely.
See 4 million examples coming before this, including Carson Wentz and on down the line. You can figure out the money. But maybe that's what they're doing. And that's what they're all trying to leverage each other over. All right, so anyway, back to your phones here, as promised. Warren in Nashville. Go ahead, Warren, on the Bills and Chiefs last night.
Yes, sir. Gentlemen, if I were a Buffalo Bills fan, I'd be asking for Leslie Frazier's head today. He did not adapt to the situation that he was given with 13 seconds left on the 25-yard line. Correct me if I'm wrong, but defensive holding is only a 5-yard penalty. It is a first down, of course, but who cares?
Yes.
So why isn't he lining up his pass defense in a press man coverage and holding them intentionally? In fact, if necessary, tackling them.
Okay, so
you give up five yards, and you could argue that that's not the true intent of football per se, but
you're not allowed to do that. There's a provision about like intentional fouls at the end or something like that that they put in a call. I think. Correct me if I
no someone, no it sounds right.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think you're allowed to go off and do, but you can certainly push the envelope.
And this was my thing. Like, at least with that remaining 13 seconds in regulation, like, you want to get on, like, it was a track meet. The defense was what it was in the overtime. But with the remaining 13 seconds, I'm kind of with the caller. Tug a little bit. Press him at the line. They have those two big plays, Kelsey and Hill, the two guys you have to know that can beat you that fast. I don't know. Play a little cheap if you have to.
They didn't take it seriously.
They didn't.
They thought with 13 seconds it was over.
Yeah. The second guess is still the kickoff to me.
No question.
Because no one was stopping anyone. No one's second guessing Steve Spagnuolo right now. And his defense allowed Josh Allen to score even quicker than Pat Mahomes did. The touchdown before the Bills touchdown. I just want to repeat this to you again. Josh Allen went 75 yards in 49 seconds. Is that faster than going 44 yards in 13 seconds? I'm not sure. Someone out there can do the math. But is anyone questioning Steve? No, because they won and you forgot about it. But the point is, no one was stopping anyone at the end of that game. No one was doing it. Neither side. The kickoff was entirely in your grasp. You weren't stopping Allen and Mahomes. You could have done something to burn a little bit of time on that kickoff.
What a mistake.
That's the second guess.
What a mistake. And by the way, I told you the Patriots and Chiefs had a similar game 2018, obviously. The Patriots kicked off and popped it up and killed 7 seconds on the kickoff.
There you go.
Went from 39 to 32, I think it was. They killed 7 seconds off the clock.
Michael and Taunton. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Mike, there's clearly an issue with the Packers organization and the coaches they hire, but I think part of it is it's not in Rodgers' DNA to be a winner. His only Super Bowl win that was fluky came against that overrated fat pervert, as Murray likes to call him.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? I'll take it one further. Aaron Rodgers has won only one conference title game. He's been in five. He's only won one. You know who it was against?
Oh, the Bears.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah, yeah.
Who quit in the middle of the game.
Right.
So that's the only time he's won that game and won at that level is when he got the Bears and Jay Cutler, who pulled himself out of that game. So it wasn't even Jay Cutler. I can't remember who came in, but it doesn't matter. That's the only time. And then the Steelers puked all over themselves in that game. Don't kid yourself. There was a late fumble by, was it Mendenhall? What was the name of their running back?
Yeah, Rashard Mendenhall.
There was a late fumble that gave the Packers the game, and it wasn't even
Clay
Rodgers.
Matthews fell on it. Yep.
Rodgers threw an incredible ball at the end of that game, if you remember, to
Jennings.
To Jennings over the middle that was an all-timer, which is him. Just rear back and chuck it, and, you know, every once in a while he pulls one out of his ass. But absolutely, big fraud, Aaron Rodgers. Boy, you sure like to carry on about yourself. Boy, has anyone ever carried on more than that guy and lost more big games than him? I mean, Peyton Manning lost himself a lot of games and all this. Did he come with half the drama of this asshat?
Oh, no way. No. I mean, not even close.
You sure like to carry on with yourself, Aaron.
You know what's amazing?
Just to lose when it matters again.
Is if Garoppolo wins this week, he will have been to more Super Bowls than Aaron Rodgers.
I love that stat.
Two Super Bowls for Jimmy G if he wins this week. More than Rodgers. It's amazing.
A lot to talk about from the weekend. We continue right after Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.